and maybe in a state of euphoria. But I don't know anyone who does that, do you? Honest with ourselves, could truthfully say that we get discouraged. I don't know about you. You know, we'd like to all believe sometimes that God intends for us to live on cloud nine and maybe in a state of euphoria. But I don't know anyone who does that, do you? I don't know of anyone who really is on the mountaintop all the time. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject, discouragement. And the reason I want to discuss that with you is because discouragement can often become the dagger of the soul. Discouragement can do a lot of things. Sometimes people ask the question, how do I get up when I get down? Or who is there when everyone else has left? Or what do I do when bad turns to worse when I get down? I know a lot of Christians today that have left the Lord and the church simply because of discouragement. A lot of things cause it. A lot of things bring it on. But we have to learn to be positive. And we have to learn to do things ourselves to make things better sometimes. We depend sometimes too much, I think, on other people to bring us out of discouragement, and we have to learn to exercise a little self-help. I read a story one time about Dennis Miller, who went into a bookstore, and he asked the sales clerk, he said, look, he said, I'd like to get a book on self-help. She said, I would help you, but that would be defeating the purpose. Well, sometimes that's the way it is in life, isn't it, with people. I like to be around positive people. Many of you know that. I enjoy positive people, not people that are negative and cynical and always down the mouth about something, but people that are positive. And sometimes in life we find it very difficult to be positive about things. Did you hear about the man who wanted to be both a veterinarian and a taxidermist? And someone said, well, why in the world would you want to be both a veterinarian and a taxidermist? And he said, well, either way, you get your dog back. Well, I'm not sure that probably is real fondly accepted by those of you who are dog lovers. But anyway, we all get down. We all find ourselves sometimes in the throes of depression. There is a passage found in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. It is a story about David, and it is a story about the burning of Ziklag. It's a very interesting story that unfolds there because the Bible tells us that while King David was away, that the Philistines had come and they had ravaged the city and they had burned the city and they had taken spoils from the city that belonged to David and the people of God. They had taken the women captive, did not leave anyone. And the Bible said that when David came and found all of this going on and what had happened, the Bible said that David and his men wept to the point that they could weep no more. Now, that's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, to reach a point where you feel like you have exhausted your ability to weep. And the Bible tells us that the men, whatever was left there of that city, why, they were ready to stone David and to put him to death. And he was so discouraged and so despondent over what had happened. And sometimes we get that same feeling of defeat in our life. Well, what is discouragement anyway? Well, as I said, I really believe that it is the dagger that rips open our soul at times, and it drains us of our courage and our fortitude to do that which is right. Now, discouragement can come in a lot of different ways, and many of you that have been discouraged know that what I'm going to share with you here tonight is really true. I would tell you that discouragement can come because of rejection. And in 1 Samuel 29, just one chapter before this takes place at Ziklag, the Bible tells us that many of the lords during David's day David did not have favor in their sight. They were ready to stone him. They were ready to get rid of him. And discouragement sometimes can come because of rejection. It can come maybe because a husband has rejected his wife, or perhaps because a wife has rejected her husband. Or maybe your children have rejected you and they don't want to have anything to do with you, or maybe a friend, a person that you knew at one time who was a loyal and faithful companion and a friend, and they have rejected you. You know, in the Old Testament, there is a prophecy that alludes to the rejection of Jesus Christ by Judas when he says, "Mine own familiar friend hath raised up his foot against me." How many of you have ever been rejected by a friend? And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. It is easy to be discouraged. Discouragement can come because of another's failure to obey God. There's a very interesting story that takes place in the 28th chapter now. It seems like we're going backwards here, but in the 28th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, it is a story about Saul who went to the witch of Endor and asked her to raise Samuel back to life. And in the process, we know that Samuel actually does come back to life, and he is enraged that Saul has brought him up from the dead, that he has made a request to inquire of Saul because the Lord had left him. Discouragement can come because other people fail to obey God. You know, sometimes those of us who serve in positions of leadership within the church are often discouraged. And I have to admit it to you, brethren. It is discouraging when you preach and you teach the gospel and you try to encourage people and you call them on the phone and you say, "Look, we miss you. What can we do to get you back in church?" And people, "Oh, I'm not making any promises." Or if they tell you to get you off the phone, "Oh, I'll be there next Sunday," and they never show up. And you do everything within your power to reach out to those people. I think that's why the Bible says that you're to submit yourself unto those that have the rule over you, knowing they watch for your soul, that in the day of judgment, that they may have joy over your soul and not discouragement. It is discouraging sometimes when people don't obey God. Discouragement can come when you suffer some kind of loss. It may be, perhaps, as it was in this case. The Bible says when David came back to Ziklag and found that it had burned, he was sorely distressed. He was in great depression. Discouragement can come when you're feeling desperate. How many of you have ever found yourself in a desperate situation and you don't know where to turn? And out of your desperation, you become extremely discouraged and depressed. Discouragement can also come when other people are upset with you and they blame you for causing trouble, or what they believe to be trouble. You know, we're good sometimes at shifting and placing the blame on other people for our own actions. And when we have no one to blame but self. But sometimes people get discouraged over that because other people say things, other people blame you for what's happening. And you know, it is easy to get discouraged, isn't it? What does it mean? You know, David makes this statement in this text, and I think it's a very interesting statement. The Bible says, however, after David had wept till he could weep no more, the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And what does that mean, that he encouraged himself in the Lord? Nobody else was doing it for him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. It means that you look to God for your strength. You know what? You're going to look to humankind for a certain amount of strength, and they can offer some. When you lose a loved one, there are only a few words that can be said that might be an encouragement to you. People can do a lot of things, but they can't take away the hurt and the pain and the discouragement and the depression that you face in your life. And you have to turn to God and look for strength that comes from Him. You know, we turn to one another, and if you could really put all this in proper perspective, you turn to one another sometimes and people help you out when you're in that distress. But there is one who can help you through all of it, and so seldom do we ever turn to Him. It means that you realize you don't have the strength to handle it by yourself. It's like people often say, and I get amused at it, because people say, "Well, one of these days I'm going to become a Christian when I feel that I can live it." Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've never felt in my life that I could live as God wanted me to live without His help. Never. I never ever felt I could pull myself up by my own, so to say, bootstraps, and that's the way I'm going to be, and you know, you're ever going to be successful in life. It doesn't happen that way. Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. Philippians 4 and verse 13. It means that you ask God and respond to what he says. You know what? I firmly believe that God, and I've told you this before, folks, and I'm going to tell you, it happens to me all the time, and I really believe if you listen to what God puts in your mind, you will find it to be true as well. When you pray about a certain situation, whether it be your discouragement or your depression or the difficult times that you have in your life, I'm going to tell you something. When you pray about that, you ought to expect an answer from God. You know what we pray? Sometimes we pray about things, but we just sit back and we just feel like, you know, all we did is just kind of talk to God and that's it. You know what? When I talk to God, I expect an answer. And I don't mean that boldly, but the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of God. I believe that God gives us an answer. I think he either puts it in our mind or he puts that word in the mind of someone else who will share with you what God wants you to do. That doesn't mean that God speaks to me audibly. I'm not telling you that. If I could be so bold as to tell you this tonight, sometimes people come to me and they ask questions and they say, well, what do you think I ought to do? I say, I don't know, I'm going to pray about it. And I pray about it and I believe God puts it in my mind. And what I tell you is based upon the word of God and what I believe that God wants you to do and what God has put in my mind to tell you to do. And it doesn't just happen to me. That's not just a promise to preachers or elders, but it's a promise to all of us. And I really believe that. I believe that God places it within our mind, what we do. Think about it, folks. How else would you ever, in your fondest imagination, ever know what God wants you to do? I mean, let's say, for instance, you're facing a dilemma, like David faced this dilemma. And he prays about it. He encourages himself in the Lord. And he prays about it. And he says, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He's still waiting. How's he going to find out what God wants him to do? I believe God places it in your mind what you ought to do. He puts it there. Now, you know what? We pray that prayer all the time. For those of us that say, well, you know, I'm not sure God operates that way. Listen to this. How many times have you ever heard anyone stand in this pulpit and do it? And I have done it and others have done it as well. God, we want you to guard. We want you to guide us and direct us. What do you do? Let's say, for instance, you're having problems in your marriage. Now, you know what the Bible teaches about marriage and divorce, but it may not answer your specific problem. What do you do? Pray about it and expect an answer. And I believe that God will give it to you. I believe he does. I think we ought to seek counsel from other people. I think God does that. We need to seek God and respond to what he says. Well, what are the results of being encouraged in the Lord? Not only do we get discouraged and not only do those things happen, but what are the results of being encouraged in the Lord? Well, number one, I believe that God gave David a promise that things were going to get better. And they did. Remember in this story, God told him to take 600 men, to choose 600 men and pursue after them. God would be with them. Matter of fact, there were 200 men that were so weak that they had to leave behind. But he took 400 with them. And the Bible says they pursued him and they found them and they were dancing and then they were in their revelry. And the Bible says that David and his men slew them from the morning to the evening. Think about it. From the morning to the evening. God said things are going to get better. And God promised David total recovery. And it was a promise that came true. You can go back and read the whole story in its entirety. God gave David assurance before the battle ever took place. And you know what? He does that in our lives, doesn't he? He does. God gave David more than he had before. God always does that, doesn't he? when we're doing his will and suddenly something's taken away, he always gives more. Didn't that happen to Job in the Old Testament? You remember? And you know what? David believed what God told him. You know, a lot of people don't believe what God says in his word. They don't. They read that and they think, well, that's a promise to somebody else. It's not really a promise to me. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you read in the word of God, it is a promise to you. God will bless you. And not only did he believe it, but David obeyed what God told him to do. And David fought hard. There are times in our lives when we have to look inward and to encourage ourselves in the Lord. People can only lift you up so much. Sometimes we just have to get, you know, close to God. I heard a story one time about a preacher, and he was so discouraged in his work and what he was doing, and he was sitting on the front porch one day, and he looked out there, and there was a starling. And that starling started chirping, and he just kind of felt like it was a message from God. I don't believe God speaks through birds, but he kind of felt like it was a message from God. He kept listening to that bird sing, and he said it sounded just like that starling was saying, give up, give up, give up. And he went and he told his wife about it, and the wife came out there and says, why are you so upset? And he told her what had happened. And she laughed at him and she said, the bird is not singing, give up, give up, give up, but the bird is singing, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. And you know what? Sometimes when we think we expect a negative response from God, we ought to expect a very positive response from God. And God is saying, don't give in to it, but keep it up, keep serving. You know, I'm a firm believer that happy people live longer. And you know what? I read a very interesting statistic this week that illustrates it. It was the conclusion of a woman by the name of Marilyn Elias. And she was writing for USA Today. And she quoted Beverly Bennett of Duke University Medical Center as saying that people could potentially extend their lifespans with positive emotions. Now here's the reason behind it. Bennett's study followed 866 adults who had heart disease. And she found out that cheerful patients had a 20% better survival rate. There were several factors involved in all of that. It appeared that cheerful people are less likely to produce damaging hormones in their body. Now, isn't that amazing? Folks, this is scientifically proven. We know that it's true. And you know what? Even the Bible teaches us that, doesn't it? That a cheerful spirit is like medicine. Happy people enjoy social support and whatever the underlying cause. We should not be surprised. Or again, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Wasn't it Nehemiah in the 8th chapter of the book of that book that bears his name in verse 10 that says that the joy of the Lord is your strength? And it is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm going to tell you every day, I'm not going to tell you I don't ever get discouraged, because I'd be lying to you tonight. There are times when I get discouraged, just like you get discouraged. But I don't wallow in my self-pity. I don't stay discouraged. Not going to do it. God has lifted me out of discouragement many times. And sometimes when you're in that throes of depression or in that discouraging, sometimes it could be a phone call or maybe a friend who stops by or a card you got in the mail or maybe a scripture that just hits you in the mind. And God places in your heart what you need to do to overcome that. It was a man by the name of Douglas Maurer one time, actually a young boy. He was only 15 years of age, and he lived in Creve, Missouri. He'd been feeling bad for several days, and his mother took Douglas to the hospital in St. Louis, where he was diagnosed as having had leukemia. The doctors told him in frank terms about this disease and what was going to happen, and they said for the next 3 years he would have to undergo chemotherapy And they didn't really sugarcoat the side effects to all of it. And those of you that know anything about chemotherapy know that that's not a very pleasant experience. I've been with a lot of people who have gone through it. But they told Douglas that he would lose his hair and that his body would bloat. And upon learning this, he went into a deep, deep depression. You could only imagine. His aunt called a floral shop to send to him an arrangement of flowers, however. She told the clerk that it was for her teenage nephew who had leukemia. And when the flowers arrived at the hospital, they were beautiful. And Douglas read the card from his aunt without emotion. Then he noticed a second card. And that second card read this way. It said, "Douglas, I took your order at the florist. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I am 22 years old today. Good luck. My prayers are with you. My heart goes out to you." And it was signed, "Sincerely, Laura Bradley." His face lit up. "Oh, wow," he said. It's interesting that Douglas Maurer was in a hospital that was filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated technological equipment. He was being treated by expert doctors and nurses with competent medical training, but it was a sales clerk in a flower shop making a meager salary, a young woman, taking time to care and by being willing to go with what her heart told her to do. It gave Douglas hope and the will to carry on. Isn't that what we're about? Encouraging others, lifting others up, helping them through those difficult times in their lives. And I've often felt, as did Zig Ziglar, the best way in the world to overcome your own problem is to help other people through theirs. So instead of turning perhaps to ourselves and thinking about our lives, how bad it is, well, you could always look out to other people who have it much worse. The man who said, "I felt discouraged because I had no shoes, until I met the man who had no feet." Discouragement. We all undergo it, but we can all overcome it. And with God's help, I hope you will. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, I have. And I do it every day. We all get discouraged. But as the Bible said of David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what we have to do. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can find that strength in God by turning to Him. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never find it anywhere else. You won't really find it in a self-help book. You won't. You won't find it in some new thing. But you'll find it at His feet. And tonight, He implores you to position yourself at His feet. If you believe in Him tonight as the Son of God, and you really believe He is the great physician, He's the one that can heal you, and He's the one who can bless you. And He will, if you come penitently to Him, acknowledging Him as Lord, and being immersed in water baptism and raised out of that, thereby giving your life to Him, and putting yourself in a position to receive the blessings of God. And if you're a Christian and tonight discouragement has overpowered you, tonight you can find the strength to overcome in our Lord. I hope you'll find it. I did. Let us stand and let us sing.
I hear.